Welcome to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, on News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com, the lead Spurs writer over there at those two fine websites. And talk about a heavy Locked On Spurs today, so you're tuning in at the right time. I'm pretty sure you're aware of what happened yesterday. A little Woj bomb, as they call it. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski kicked things off in a grand way. Just when you think everything's quiet and this whole Kawhi Leonard situation cannot get any weirder, it did. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the Spurs had a quick team meeting, and according to that report, that it was so tense and it was confrontational, and Tony Parker led the charge, and it was an intervention for Kawhi Leonard, and the team was getting frustrated whether or not he's going to return. Basically, they wanted to know, can you come play with us before the playoffs? And according to that report, Kawhi Leonard stood firm and said he does not know. Of course, that set off a firestorm among Spurs fans, media, and even the Spurs players themselves. So to discuss this and a whole lot more, including a preview of tonight's Spurs Jazz game, I'm joined once again by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Now, Joe, before we begin, apparently I have a very scared voice. Apparently some haters out there think that I'm not that good or something. I don't know, Joe. What do you think about that?
Man, it's all right, man. Haters gonna hate. Just got to keep moving forward.
Exactly.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, if you're those who are tuning in, yeah, I got word that supposedly a bunch of quote-unquote Spurs fans were bashing me recently, but whatever. Yeah. As Joe said, haters are going to hate, and I'll not let my scared voice interfere with your listening enjoyment. Joe kind of quickly rehashed what ESPN reported yesterday about this players-only meeting with Kawhi Leonard. Now, before we get into our takes, what is your general thoughts about the report?
You know, the thing is that, you know, a lot of people here in, you know, San Antonio and Spurs fans in general, they refer to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN as the oracle, meaning that when he says something, you got to listen. You know, you got to take some stock in what he's saying. This report, however, kind of took me aback a little bit because... shout out to Michael DeLeon, Project Spurs. He was saying, you know, a little bit like, you know what, this isn't really what happened. You know, he was the kind of the first one that started coming out and that I heard of. It was saying, you know, this isn't really what happened during, you know, per Adrian Wojnarowski. It was just based on speculation, not really based on facts, you know. And then shortly thereafter, you start hearing people from, you know, that cover the, you know, the San Antonio Spurs and Jabari Young and, you know, Tom Orsborn and Mike Finger, some of these other guys, some of these beat writers coming out. And, you know, they're saying, and even Danny Green says, you got this wrong. It's, you know, that's not what happened. So, you know, you kind of caught ESPN red-handed, you know, where they're taking something, I guess, maybe they heard or speculated on and running with it and making it into a full-blown story for just traction, likes, you know, and it's clickbait. You know, they're putting it out there so you can click on it and get you all riled up. But when you look at the facts, it doesn't match up with what, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski was saying. And it's not something that Spurs fans need to get all riled up about because this is basically the same things that we've been hearing, you know, for the last couple of months. I mean, what's your take on it, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, just to give a quick detail. You know, for the listener who maybe couldn't really hear what happened, the players that pretty much took to social media and discounted the supposed report, Danny Green, saying it was inaccurate. Brendan Paul really took to his social media account and was pretty much bashing the media and pretty much making fun of the media for this report. The list goes on and on. Spurs fans were very divided. Some camp ESPN report, others can't, don't buy it. And when I first read it, my first reaction was not surprising. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I guess we'll go ahead and go into our takes now, Joe, and you'll go next. My takeaway was simply this, is that it wasn't surprising initially, because if you listen to the interview that Monta Ginobili did yesterday with the media after the team photo day, he talked about how he's already moving on, that the team's mindset has to move on. He also, if you listen to the complete interview, he also talked about how difficult it's going to be to get Kawhi Leonard back, chemistry-wise, team-wise, and that he hasn't been around. So when I heard the report coupled with Monta Ginobili's statements, again, he did not say that Kawhi is not coming back. I know a lot of media got that wrong. People read it wrong, but you know, it's just his opinion. But at the end of the day, I put the two together. I said, okay, well, not too surprising. I can see maybe they had a meeting and this sparked Monta Ginobili to say this. Now, am I buying the complete story? No, I'm not buying it. Am I buying there was a meeting? Yeah, I'm buying that. Am I buying that the Spurs asked Kawhi Leonard, the players that is, about Kawhi Leonard's injury? Yeah, I'm buying that too. Am I buying that it is tense and that it was confrontational and that it was pretty much drawing a line in the sand between the players and Kawhi and is causing more distance and friction between the players and Kawhi? I'm not buying that. Look, this team is built on leadership. This team is built on cohesion. This team is built on communication. Popovich stresses that a lot. And if the report is true that Tony Parker pretty much conducted the team meeting, you know he's going to approach it the right way. He's been there. He's done that. He knows exactly what the Spurs culture is. Now, I don't blame the players for them asking Kawhi. I mean, these players get badgered every day, every chance the media gets. Including myself, about Kawhi's status. They're going to ask him because Kawhi's quiet. You know, this is kind of a little bit on Kawhi's blame, his door of blame, if you will, because he doesn't speak out about it. He's always quiet. And when he does speak out, it's pulling teeth and it's rare. So when the players get asked about Kawhi and Popovich gets asked Kawhi, and think about this too, rewind the clock back to midseason, Pop said that they're going to shelve Kawhi Leonard indefinitely. Why? Because he didn't want to be bothered anymore by what the media asked every time. Is Kawhi coming back? Or what's his status? So it's a little bit of blame on him, but at the end of the day, I'm not buying it completely. I'm buying it maybe like 80, 90% of it, but not 100% of it. And here's the kicker though. Well, you know what? I'm going to bank my last takeaway about this report. Joe, that was my initial takeaway and a good chunk of it. What do you think?
No, I kind of agree with you. You know, the one thing that I did read into is it just seems like the players are just, I don't know, it just seems like they get frustrated about, you know, having to reiterate, you know, what about Kawhi? What about Kawhi? You know, and people were like saying, for example, Manu Ginobili was very frustrated with Kawhi Leonard. That's why he said what he said after the Spurs group photo. I don't think he was saying it that he was, you know, like you said, he wasn't irritated with Kawhi. I think he was just more irritated with the media. You know, it's like, why do I have to keep talking about this over and over? Can't we move on? You know, so I agree with you on that aspect of it. Of course, what happened, what really happened, I guess we really are just left to kind of speculate a little bit, because I doubt if any of the media was allowed to be in the locker room when they were having their team meeting, you know.
Well, let me stop you there, Joe. I can tell you this much from firsthand experience. That Spurs PR department, they are ironclad. Yeah. They put down the iron wall when the situation's like that. If there was a team meeting, I wasn't there, obviously. Yeah. But if there was a team meeting, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't even let the media go near
yeah,
the team locker room until that meeting was over, and then they would open up the doors.
Yeah, and that's my sentiments exactly. It's like, you know, these beat writers here in San Antonio and the local media, they can all say what they want to say, but unless you were really there in the meeting to really, you know, find out what happened, it's kind of like speculation or hearsay. You know, you're piecing together what little things you do here. So, I mean, we really won't know for sure what transpired, but more than likely they were just saying, hey, how are things going? How are you doing? And Manu did bring up a very good topic. At the Spurs photo shoot, he was asked, you know, like, asked a little bit more about Kawhi, and he said what everybody really already knows. And he's like, Kawhi's one of those guys that's hard to read. He's hard to communicate with, in other words, because he's such an introvert. He's very quiet, you know, he doesn't really speak a lot. So Manu and Tony and everybody, I think they were more concerned about him feeling like he's not a part of the team, you know, and maybe that's really what happened in that meeting. They just wanted to say, hey, we're here, we have your back. How are things going with your rehab? Can we expect you back anytime soon? You know, just normal things that teammates would want to know, and let him know that, hey, you don't, you know, have to work out alone. You can always come work out with us and be, you know, enjoy the camaraderie. You're still our teammate. You know, we got your back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really just by me, from what everybody's saying to me, that seems more the logical thing that really occurred, you know?
Yeah. And then you add the fact that, as I mentioned, Danny Green and Brendan Paul, really vocal that the report was incorrect. They didn't dismiss pieces of it. They just said it was incorrect. So that can mean many things. That can mean maybe that it was not tense. If there was a meeting, it's incorrect in the sense that it was tense. You know what I'm getting at here, listeners and Joe. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, because here's the thing. He's still not coming back. He's out for tonight's Spurs-Jazz game. There is no firm date right now until we hear it from his doctors that he's ready to go. So I'm going to end this segment because we got to dive into the Jazz game, and I'm pretty sure you, Joe, and the listeners are probably sick and tired of hearing about Kawhi Leonard and is he playing, is he not playing, what's the latest? I mean, this is Dramaville times 100 in San Antonio land, where this rarely exists. Now, look, my only caveat in all this, and it's something I said before right here on Locked On Spurs. I know it's a different set of circumstances. I get that. But the base of it is the same. Could be the same. LaMarcus Aldridge was unhappy. There was a report that something could happen early last season, in the offseason. It was poo-pooed. LaMarcus Aldridge came out on national radio, said, no, it's untrue. Popovich discarded it. He laughed it off. And, oh, no, everybody's happy. Lo and behold, it was true down the road. Bob even talked about it, said it was true, that it did sit down, that there was a requested trade, that he was shocked that he has never been in that situation before. It was true. We made, a lot of Spurs fans were making fun of the reporter, the report itself, and, you know, the same, maybe not at this level, but there was still kind of a very similar reaction to it. You fast forward to this season, Kawhi Leonard. Now, I'm not here to bash Adrian Wojnarowski. He is a fine media guy. But all in all, he's pretty accurate. He's pretty fairly accurate. And it could be a situation where down the road, i.e. this summer, off-season, Supermax deal, supposedly, expected that the Spurs are going to offer Kawhi, and it comes out that it was true, that it was tense, that there was a line in the sand. So my only caveat is, I know different players, different set of circumstances, I get that, but the root of it is still a rumor that was shot down, came to be true. With LaMarcus, same thing here, a rumor that was, it's getting shot down as we speak. Who knows if it's going to come out later down the road that it was true. So just keep that in the back of your head as the offseason fast approaches, and it's time for that deal to be offered by San Antonio to Kawhi Leonard. And if he doesn't sign, or there's some bumps along that road, think about what just happened yesterday in that report. And look, this is a team right now that's leaderless on the court. Tim Duncan is gone, you know. David Robinson is long gone. Not dead, but you know what I mean. He's not playing anymore. And hey, this is a new era. Those are not the military David Robinson guys that are going to follow orders, or the father-son relationship that Duncan and Popovich had, where Duncan would take it and, you know, boom, get everybody in line. Kawhi's different. We can't expect Tim Duncan-like qualities to come out of a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who just isn't. So you got to take it for what it is. But at the end of the day, I am buying there was a meeting, but I'm selling the fact that it was as tense as it was reported. Joe, your final takeaway?
Yeah, it's really nothing to make ado about. You know, it's, let's resume business as usual, you know, and keep moving forward, and Act like he, you know, like Manu said, act like he's not coming back. Have that mentality. And if he does surprise everybody and comes back, even better, you know?
There you go. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and transition now to a Spurs Jazz preview. But before we do that, make sure to follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And let's talk about your Spurs all day, all night. And I'm always there. And, of course, you can follow Joe on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. Spell it out, TWOSHOTS Podcast. All right, Spurs and Jazz tip things off tonight in San Antonio, where the Spurs are putting their five-game winning streak on the line versus a Jazz team that's given them fits this season. The Spurs have been flexing their muscle of late, getting the wins, much-needed wins, as they stay in the fight for a playoff spot. I don't even want to get into where they sit right now because it's probably going to change by the time you're listening to this show. But nevertheless, the Jazz and Spurs have met up three times this season. And guess what? Spurs haven't won one of them. They're 0-3 versus Utah this season. Something's got to give. Either the Spurs are going to break that to losing streak or they're going to keep on their winning streak. So let's go ahead and do our keys to victory, Joe. And Joe, I'm going to let you kick things off. What are the first things San Antonio has to do to make sure they avoid getting swept by Utah?
Well, one of the main things that San Antonio needs to do is, I'm going to say it right now, they need to utilize better shot clock management, you know. And I've seen this, you know, time and time again from him throughout the whole season. It's not just one occurrence. It happens every single game. They seem to take shots too early in the shot clock, you know. To me, if you have a great shot, yeah, don't pass it up. If it's a slam dunk or an easy layup, take it, you know. But you need to utilize the shot clock to your advantage. You know, go ahead and take shots when there's maybe 6-7 seconds left, you know. Maybe even let it go down to 3 or 4. What I'm saying is they got to be a little bit more patient on the offensive end and really wait and see what the defense gives you. There's no need to rush things.
You know what? I've seen the Spurs kind of get better in that in this five-game winning streak. There are times during the games where they look like they're going to revert back to that, but I think they've gotten better with that, especially in the fourth quarter, maybe minus that third quarter performance versus the Warriors. But they're getting better at it, Joe. So hopefully that will continue versus the Jazz tonight. Okay, let me go ahead and dive into my takeaway. Well, actually, not my takeaway, but my key to victory for a Spurs win tonight versus Utah. My goodness, they really need to bring that defense. And I know the Spurs have one of the best defenses in the league. They're tops. Number one in opponent's points per game. But something about Utah, they just simply can't slow them down. As I mentioned, the Spurs are 0-3 versus Utah this season, but in each of the three losses, they gave up 100 points or more to the Jazz. In the first meeting, 101 points. Second meeting, 120 points. And in the final, most recent meeting, 100 points. Look, defense wins championships. We all know that. We've witnessed it in the Spurs, this recent Spurs era. Look, the Spurs have cranked up their defense in the last five games. They've been playing at a different level. Even Golden State Warrior Steve Kerr, after the win by San Antonio, credited the Spurs defense by saying they notched it up. They gotten better at it. Kyle Anderson said the exact same thing versus the Wizards, saying that defense was a key. DeJounte Murray even recently mentioned again after the Spurs win over Golden State, saying everybody's bringing that defensive juice. They got to keep that up against Utah. Three games this season, 100 points or more, unacceptable, Joe. They got to rein in Utah, and I get it. Donovan Mitchell is a dynamo. He's a great player. But I think the Spurs team has enough firepower on the defensive end to contain him. And if they can't contain him, at least make his life miserable. And that goes for the other Jazz players. So my key to victory against Utah, bring that defense, Joe.
Yeah, my second key to victory would be Spurs need to control the pace. I'm with you on the defense, but the one thing that has been the Achilles heel for the Spurs is transition D against these, younger, more athletic teams that have these young players. And the Utah Jazz is one of these teams that they're not going to be able to slow down because most of their guys can't get back on transition D. And that's a problem for the Spurs. So to combat that, my second key to victory for them, or I think the one that they need to play, you know, throughout the whole game, is control the pace of the game to combat that you can't get back on transition D and try to slow down the opposing team. If they can control the pace and make the Jazz play more of a half-court set, I like the Spurs' chances tonight.
Yeah, I think the Spurs should be able to get a win tonight versus Utah, snap their losing streak to the Jazz, and pick up a crucial game because, let's face it, Joe, whether it's the Jazz or the Rockets or whoever else they got left on the schedule, every win counts and every loss is going to hurt. That's how tight this race in the West is for playoff positioning. One day the Spurs are fifth, the next day they're seventh, one day they're sixth, they're back to seven or eight. It's that crazy. It's a playoff-like atmosphere. The Spurs got to bring that playoff mentality versus Utah. Utah, hey, look, they're coming in thinking we beat these guys three times and we're also facing them in this playoff race chase. You know, we still have an outside shot to make it. If we can knock them off, that's a spot for us. You bet the Jazz are going to come in trying to ruin this Spurs winning streak and sweep them and maybe get themselves a nice mental edge in this game. So the Spurs, they got to just simply take care of business. They have been. They got to continue. All right, so those are our three keys to victory for your Spurs. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at JeffGSpursZone. And again, Joe, and this goes for you too. I hope my voice didn't sound like I was too timid or scared or you know, that I wasn't too knowledgeable because, you know, I've been covering this team since 2004, but apparently it doesn't come out, Joe. So my apologies, Joe.
Hey, we can't always be perfect to all the listeners. You know, it is what it is.
All right, Joe, how can our listeners follow you and get a hold of you?
Well, they can follow me at Two Shots Podcast, which is all spelled out, TWOSHOTS Podcast, at Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And you can also check us out on our new website, which is www.twoshotssa.com.
All right, so for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.